Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with David's location for the house of the Lord, as we pick up in 1 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 1. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
And so the first verse of chapter 22, then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God." In other words, this is the place for the temple. God had ordered that on this spot, the altar be built and the sacrifice made. They had been doing that only in Gibeon up to this point. They're at the tabernacle. But God is signifying by the building of the altar and the offering of the sacrifice here that this is where the house of the Lord is to be built. Now, God's hand behind the scenes all the way. It is this place on Mount Moriah that years before Abraham had come. About 1,000 years earlier, Abraham had come with Isaac to offer a sacrifice unto God. And as Abraham and Isaac were coming to this Mount Moriah, this very place that David is now purchasing, and his son Isaac said, "Dad, we have the fire and we have the wood, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "Son, the Lord will provide himself a sacrifice. In the mount of the Lord," he said, "it shall be seen." And you remember the story, how that he bound Isaac, placed him on the altar, and he raised the knife, and the Lord said, "That's enough, Abraham. Behold, there's a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. Take and offer it." And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, "The Lord will provide." And he responded, "For in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." This is the place where the sacrifices are to be made. This is the place that God had chosen for the temple back at the time of Abraham. And he makes the prophecy of it then. It doesn't end there. About 1,000 years after David, Jesus was led to the top of Mount Moriah, a place called Golgotha, and there he was crucified. So this holy mount that God chose as a place of sacrifice, he directed Abraham to it. Abraham prophesied over it. God stopped the angel above the threshing floor there on Mount Moriah. David recognized, God said, "Offer the sacrifice there." And David, by that, recognized that this is the place God has chosen for the house of God to be built. And the prophecy was then completely fulfilled when Jesus made the sacrifice for sin, and God offered his only begotten Son for our sins on the Mount of Sacrifice. So David recognized, hey, this is the place for the house of the Lord. And David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel. And he set masons to begin to hew these stones to build the house of God. He can't build the house, but the Lord didn't say he couldn't prepare for the building of the house, and so he got the stonemasons to work. They started carving out the stones for the temple. And of course, as we go on, we find that he began to gather. David prepared iron in abundance for the nails, for the doors of the gates, and for the joinings. Brass in abundance, without weight. I know there's so much you couldn't really weigh it. Also, there were cedar trees in abundance for the Sidonians and they that were of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender. And the house that is to be built for the Lord must be magnificent, exceedingly magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all of the world. And I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Can't build it, David, but hey, David says, I can sure provide for it. So then he called for Solomon, his son, and he charged him to build the house for the Lord. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of Jehovah my God. But the word of Jehovah came to me saying that you have shed blood abundantly. You've made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name because you have shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. David, you've been too bloody a man. But behold, a son shall be born to you. He will be a man of peace or rest, and I will give him rest from all of his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. So, Solomon, it was in my mind to build this house for God. God rejected my desire because of my bloody past. But he promised to give me you as a son. Reign in my stead. You're to build a house. So now, my son, he gives to Solomon the charge. The Lord be with you. This is the key to the whole thing. God has called you to a great task. It's to be a magnificent temple. It's to be noted throughout the world. It's to be one of the great wonders of the ancient world, this temple that is to be built. So, my son, the Lord be with you. How we need the presence of God for every endeavor that we do for God. It is not enough to just know what God wants done, and then to take it upon ourselves to do it. We must be directed by God, strengthened by God, guided by God in every work that we seek to do for God. One of the tragic mistakes of the modern church is to try to do the work of God with the ingenuity of man. We find that Madison Avenue has invaded the church. You'd be amazed at the mail that I get every week of those professionals that are willing to come and to help us raise money. All kinds of money-raising schemes that are designed for churches. And we get mail all the time of how to raise funds, you know, and how they'll come in and set up a whole drive and go around and get pledges, and how they give their success story of how they helped this church raise so many thousands and this church to raise so much money and all these money-raising schemes. God never intended that the church should be supported by money-raising schemes, by pressuring people into giving, by pressuring people into making pledges. God never intended his work to be supported that way. God said, let every man purpose in his own heart, and so let him give. God said that your giving should never be out of pressure or out of constraint. For God loves a cheerful giver, and the Greek is even more intensive. God loves a hilarious giver. And surely the time when the offering is taken should be the most hilarious part of every service. giver. God loves a hilarious giver. But you see, the problem with the church is that they've adopted worldly methods to accomplish their goals. And we have done it, and it's almost a law within the church that the end justifies the means. Not so. That's a lie from the pit. The ends do not justify the means. You say, but we raised all this money for God. Well, it wasn't God's way. And it's like taking a census of the people in David's time. God's not pleased with it. We need to seek God's guidance in every endeavor that the church launches into in doing the work of God. We need to be in prayer that God will show us how, not just what should be done, but how it should be done. The Lord be with you. It's a great task that you're called to do. You know what you're supposed to do. Now may the Lord be with you to guide you, to give you wisdom, and to give you understanding because of this great task that is to be done. And may the Lord prosper you with that wisdom, prosper you with understanding that you build the house to the Lord as he has said that you're going to do. God has ordained that you do it. But may God be with you and prosper you with wisdom and understanding in doing it. And so the Lord give to you that wisdom and understanding to help you to give charge to Israel. That is, he's going to have to be giving the orders in Israel. May God give you the wisdom and understanding to give you the charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of Jehovah thy God. Then you will prosper if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and the judgments which the Lord gave to Moses. The story of Solomon is a story of tragedy because he started out well. As we get into 2 Chronicles, the first part is devoted unto Solomon, to the building of the temple, to the completion of the temple. And as the temple is completed, and we read Solomon and the prayer of dedication of the temple, that prayer of Solomon shows great wisdom, great understanding, and a great commitment to the things of God. It's an extremely powerful, beautiful prayer that was answered by God in a very powerful way. God responded to the prayer of Solomon. But as the years went by, Solomon turned away from the statutes of the Lord. He turned away from the statutes that God had given to Moses. He did not follow his father's advice, but as the years went by and he was prosperous and wealthy, he began to disobey the statutes of the Lord written in the law of Moses. He began to multiply to himself wives as the statute said he should not do. He began horse trading with the Egyptians, which the scriptures said he should not do. And as he began to take wives of the daughters of the foreign kings in order to please them on Mount of Olives, across from the area of Ophel, where the city of David was, on the Mount of Olives, the opposite side there, he began to build temples to their pagan deities there in the sight of Israel for his wife's sake. And it became a great stumbling block to Solomon and to the people of Israel. But David is giving him good advice and a good counsel here. It's too bad he didn't keep with it. Be strong and of good courage. And of course, our strength and our courage comes from the acknowledgement that God is with me. The Lord is with me, I shall not fear. Just that consciousness of God's presence gives great courage, great strength. Also, it keeps you from dread and dismay. A lot of times I can't see the way out. A lot of times I don't know how it's going to work out. A lot of times it looks like a real mystery. It's a puzzler. It looks like total mess, chaos. And I hate it when people come at that time and say, "Well, Chuck, what are we going to do?" Because I really don't know. We're going to wait upon the Lord and see what He's going to do. I don't have the answer. But I'm not dismayed. God's in it. God's going to work it out. He just hasn't shown me yet what His plan is. I know when it comes to pass, we're going to say, "My, wasn't that wonderful? Isn't it great the way that worked out?" But there are too many people in the middle of the thing because they can't see the end results. They're all disturbed. They're all upset. Oh, how foolish it is for us to judge a situation until we see the end of the matter. And yet there are always people willing to do that, right in the midst of things when we can't see the plan of God, the purpose of God. Why would God allow this to happen and that to happen and all? And we're right in the middle of it. And we begin to judge now. My, we sure made a foolish mistake that time, didn't we? Well, did we? Those same people come around later when the whole thing is worked out. When it's all worked out, then they say, "Man, that was a smart move, wasn't it? Shrewd. That was just absolutely brilliant, you know. How did you know that was going to happen?" Well, you didn't. You just take one step at a time and just let God lead you. But as long as the Lord is with you, you don't be dismayed. You're not dreading it. You say, "Hey, God's going to work it out. God's in this thing. He's watching over His church. The Lord is with us. I'll not be dismayed. I'll not dread." David said, "Now behold, in my trouble, I've prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold." Someone do a little research on that. Find out how many ounces in a talent. And you'll find out how many hundreds of millions of dollars of gold this is. 1,000,000 talents of silver. Brass and iron without weight. So much our scales won't handle it. "For it is in abundance. I also have timbers and stones that I have prepared that you might add to them. Moreover, there are workmen in abundance, those who are able to hew the wood, those that are able to work with the stones and the timbers, and all manner of skillful men for every manner of work. The gold, the silver, the brass, the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with you." Son, I've gone as far as I can. I've prepared it all. Now, get to it. Get going. Do it. And the Lord be with you. So David also commanded all of the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord." What tremendous advice. Set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. Set it in your mind. I'm going to seek the Lord. You find no better path for life. No wiser move could you ever make than that of just seeking the Lord. "And bring back the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of Jehovah." So these sacred instruments, the Ark of the Covenant and those vessels, bring them into this temple that is to be built. So David has set things for his son Solomon to take over
at his death.
Return with more of our study of 1 Chronicles in our next lesson, as the task of building the temple is handed off to Solomon. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the book of 1 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, help us to seek you with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, to be lights shining in this dark world, to be a witness for you. And through the presence and the power of your Spirit in our lives, that consciousness that you are with us. Lord, may we go forth to do your work. And Father, we pray that you'll give to us wisdom and understanding on how it's to be done. We want, Lord, to be your expression to the world. Help us. Grant to us, Lord, that wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
So there's this guy I know named Jerry Brown, and he was almost a millionaire drug dealer, making and selling dope just to make a buck. He didn't get rich by selling drugs to a couple people. He sold it to a lot. And then Jerry gets saved. Yeah, now instead of selling drugs, he's helping people get off drugs and alcohol and give their lives to Jesus Christ, the permanent solution for any addiction. Read Pastor Jerry Brown's story in his new book, U-Turn for Christ, where grace and repentance meet.
Drugs and alcohol are some of Satan's most lethal weapons to destroy families. Once you read Pastor Jerry Brown's story, you'll want to join him in presenting the gospel to those who are caught in the bondage of addiction. I encourage you to pick up a copy of the book, U-Turn for Christ, where grace and repentance meet.
For more information on how to order a copy of the book, U-Turn for Christ, call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online where you can read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.